Take your Bibles, Proverbs chapter number 18. Proverbs and chapter number 18. And it's a joy to be with you tonight and in this service. Many times on Wednesday nights, I'm over in our discipleship ministry. And we're grateful for the fact that we have about 110 adults every Wednesday night meeting and being discipled by another 110 in a one-on-one type setting. We're grateful for what God is doing in that ministry, but it's a privilege to preach, and I appreciate Pastor and the opportunity to do so. On Wednesday nights, we have been in a theme about decisions that make a difference, and we recognize tonight that our life, in many ways, is the summary of the decisions that we make, and the Bible promises us wisdom if we'll ask for wisdom, if we'll seek wisdom, if we'll go to God's Word in earnest to search for wisdom. Wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And God desires for us to have it. He desires for you and I to live in a way that is distinct, that we are a child of God, to make decisions with a biblical worldview in mind, and every facet of our life to be filtered through the fact that we are a child of God, striving to the best of our ability to live according to the Word of God. And we know that's for our benefit, but that should be evidenced in our life and the way that we're living it. So, decisions that make a difference. And our topic tonight is friendships. How to make the right decision when it comes to friendships. Being the right kind of friend and having the right kind of friends. Now, in the last 50 years, we have seen an incredible technological advancement in our country. And in these decades, we have seen the way that we communicate, the way that we relate, the way that we live with people drastically change. And today, we can do so many things to connect with people. We can text them or email them or direct message or a Facebook post or many other means socially to connect and so forth. And yet, in a day where we are so connected, in a day where we have so many means to make a connection or to relate or to nurture a relationship, if you will, it's incredible in 2016 how many people are lonely. How many people relationally are empty? And even good godly people, how many people that really we've lost the art of being the right kind of friend and having the right kind of friend and knowing how to relate with people in that way. And God has much to say about this when it comes to friendships and certainly relationships. In fact, one of the first recorded sentences that God ever uttered in the scriptures about man, after he created Adam in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "It is not good that the man should be alone." And every married man in this room is grateful for that observation from the Lord. Because following that was the creation of Eve. And Adam woke up and said, "Wow, man!" And there was Eve. And the rest was awesome. And for every married guy in the room, we are grateful for that statement. The Lord, knowing we needed somebody, and we married way over our head, and God indeed has been so good. But tonight we're not necessarily talking about marriage. Hopefully you're going to the couples retreat. We're going to talk about that Friday and Saturday. But we do see the need for relationships, and it's imperative that we know how to develop the right kind of relationships and friendships in our life. And when we think of that, we have to look no further than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the master example and illustration of everything. And we see of him in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 24. "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." And we are thankful for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the friend of friends, the friend of sinners, and an example certainly for you and I when it comes to being the right kind of friend. It's been said that a friend is the first person who comes in when the rest of the world is going out. And that was a characteristic certainly that we find in our relationship with the Lord. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He's an excellent friend, and He provides an example and a pattern that we can follow after. And as we desire that, and we come to the book of Proverbs, where much of God's wisdom is shared, I want us tonight to look specifically at 10 biblical principles regarding friendship. Now, don't be nervous. Brother Sam's already texted me and said, what in the world? A 10-point message tonight, and it's going to be quick, all right? We're not going to be here for a long marathon, but there are 10 biblical principles here in Proverbs that I want us to look at concerning friendships, desiring first and foremost that we might be the right kind of friend, and secondly, that we might surround ourselves with the right kind of friend. Number one, the principle of choice. The principle of choice. Now notice this in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. The Bible says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Now, I don't know about you, but one of the things I ask the Lord for is wisdom. I would like biblical wisdom. I know all too well that if I live my life according to my own desires, that I will destroy my life. I know that I have no hope apart from the wisdom God offers me through a relationship with Him and in His Word. And one of the things He teaches me in His Word is if I will walk with wise men, I will be wise. And here's the principle of choice, and that is that we have a choice to make when it comes to what kind of a friend we will be and what kind of a friend that we will have. Now, we should be friendly to everyone. We're Christians, and Christians should be friendly to everybody for the desire that we might enter into their life and have an opportunity maybe to invite them to church or to witness to them or something of this nature. Mrs. Shepherd had her neighbor in church this past Sunday, and she said, "Brother Rule, I've been begging her for 3 years that she might come and be my guest." And sometimes there's going to be some people in whom we're inviting or people in whom we're encouraging or people in whom we're relating with for the purpose that we might have an influence on them for the cause of Christ. But when it comes to close friendships, when it comes to people who have an influence on our life, when it comes to people in whom we're going to spend time with, we want to be very selective in who it is that is going to be our friend. Why? Because the friends in your life are either encouraging you towards a closer relationship with God, or they're encouraging you towards a distant relationship from God. That's what friends do. They're an influence. And they're either influencing us in the right direction or they're influencing you and I in the wrong direction. And are we walking with wise people tonight or fools? And there's a question posed to us there in Proverbs, and we want to remember the principle of choice. I must choose the kind of friends that I'm going to have. And I want to be selective in that process. I want to be careful in that process. Right? Because if I surround myself with the wrong kind of friends, it's going to bring my life harm. Because character is as much caught as it is taught. That's why God says, walk with wise men and you'll be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Just being in the presence of, spending time with the wrong kind of friend, God is warning you and I, is a dangerous risk to take. Now notice in Proverbs 22. 24 and 25, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. So God is saying, don't be around a companion of fools. Don't make a friendship with an angry man. Proverbs 12, 26, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. Now we're going to find tonight in the book of Proverbs, the Hebrew word translated neighbor is also the same translated friend. So they're interchangeable. So here the reference to neighbor as well could be a reference to friend. And the Bible says the righteous is more excellent to his neighbor, to his friend, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. Be careful in whom you are spending your time with. The principle of choice. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, 29, a violent man enticeth his neighbor, there it is again, his friend, and leadeth him into the way that is not good. Benjamin Franklin said, be slow in choosing a friend and even slower in changing a friend. So the principle of choice. Now again, we know tonight we need to be friendly to everybody. We know Jesus Christ is our Savior. If you don't, I pray you make that decision tonight. But if you do, Jesus Christ saw the multitude. He had compassion on them. I believe Jesus was friendly with everybody. He wanted to see them know Him as Savior. But when it comes to friendships, close relationships, people who have an influence on your life, be selective. Is it a good influence? Are they drawing you closer to the Lord? Is it the kind of friendship that you know is helping you spiritually? And sometimes if we're not careful, we can have a lot of friendships under the auspices of, well, these are all people I'm helping and I'm ministering to. And by the way, you may have some friendships of people you're trying to bring along, but who in your life is doing that for you? Because if you don't have that, you've got a problem. Ask yourself this question, what friend do I have right now that's a better Christian than I am? How much time am I spending with that person? Who do I spend time with that when I leave their presence, I want to be more like my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Do I have that kind of a friend? Am I choosing the right kind of a friend? The power of choice. Secondly, the principle of closeness. The principle of closeness. Now, relationships are greatly strengthened when we spend time together. Again, another wrinkle in our culture and society now with all of the social media interaction and all of the ways in which we can connect and talk with people is that we spend so much time doing that and we have much less time to personally spend time together or in a personal way connect and touch base. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:10, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. For better is a neighbor, there's that word again, neighbor, friend. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. And you and I want to have friendships with people in whom we have common ground. We are striving to please and honor the Lord, but also with whom people that we can spend time with. We're not going to have strong friendships of people in whom we never spend time with. And if that goes too long, inevitably, that relationship is going to grow distant. Emerson said, go often to the house of thy friend, for weeds choke the unused path. And sometimes God may bless us in our life with a good friend. And if we're not careful, we're not spending the kind of time together that we should. And I want to encourage you, if God has laid on your heart to be a good friend to somebody, you want to make sure that you're getting some time together, that you personally are spending time encouraging one another and sharpening one another. And there's a principle of closeness, of spending time together. That can be coming to church together. That can be going on an activity through your adult Bible fellowship together. That can be attending a special week of meetings of revival together. I recognize everybody's got a busy schedule and a full plate, and you need time for yourself and your family. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But you need time. And if we're going to be the right kind of friend, if we're going to encourage and edify people, we're going to have to be willing to put some time into it as well. The principle of closeness. But then thirdly, the principle of constraint. The principle of constraint. Now, on the other hand, Proverbs, the Lord in the book of Proverbs is advocating time and closeness and common ground, but there is the idea of constraint, knowing when to leave a friend alone. Now, different people have different capacities for friendships and time and simple things like calendar and schedule and all of that. But you need to discern when is the right time and when is it not. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:17, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. Now, it's been said that nothing in the world is friendlier than a wet dog. And sometimes in life, there is a friend that just doesn't know when to stop being a friend. They're just always there. They're always wanting to be together. They're always wanting your time. Benjamin Franklin said, guests are like fish. After 3 days, they stink. And you want to be careful that you and I, when it comes to our friendships, are careful to invest time and to be close, but then to know when to pull back. If God has blessed you with a spouse, you want to make sure that there's not a friendship that is robbing from your time with your spouse. There's no points for living out of priority. If God has blessed you with children, you want to make sure there's time for your children. And by the way, there doesn't need to be a pressure in your home that your children always have a friend over. Sometimes the best thing for the family is nobody to have anybody over, because you need to be a family. You need to have fun. You need to nurture relationships. You need a tight bond with the four people or all the people in the four walls of that home. And so there are times when the principle of constraint needs to be exercised when it comes to friendships, because if I'm not getting time with my God like I need, if I'm not getting time with my spouse in my personal dynamic like I need, if I'm not getting time with my children like I need, I want to be a good friend and I want to have good friends. But if all my time is spent with friends, eventually that's going to be a problem. I'm not showing any constraint. I'm not showing any discernment to know when, you know what, I'm not going to be able to do that tonight. I'm not going to be able to go there. I'm not going to be able to be involved in that because there's something else I've got to do. It's easier to say no when a greater yes burns inside. And we want to be careful because familiarity breeds contempt. And the idea there is that when we have an extensive knowledge or a close relationship with someone, it leads us to a loss of respect for that person. And you want to be careful that it's not just I have one or two friends and we do everything together. Why? Because something can grow in that relationship. There can be a loss of respect. We can lose the appropriate boundaries that should be there, and something could happen we regret. We want to be careful. The principle of constraint. Yes, we want to love, and yes, we want to invest, and yes, we want to be close, but sometimes we just need to pull back. Sometimes we just need to say no. Well, this is going great. Number four, the principle of contribution. The principle of contribution. Verse 24, Proverbs 18, we read it. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, friendship is a two-way street. Any true friendship, two people involved, both must contribute and each person benefits. To have a friend, you must be a friend. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And when somebody's outlook on it is, well, I don't have any friends and nobody likes me and nobody wants to spend any time with me. And, this is the lot in my life. God is challenging us to go to the mirror and to give ourselves the friend test. Are we friendly? Is there any reason anybody would want to spend time with us? Why would people want to be my friend? That's a challenging question, but the Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So we've got to be honest. What do I bring to the table? For a man to have friends, he's got to show himself friendly. Iron sharpeneth iron. I mean, I've got to bring something to it. If all I do is bring to relationships all my problems and all my woes, and every day it rains, and every day it's cloudy, and everything's bad, and it's always falling in, and who wants to be around that? I mean, people see us coming and they run. I mean, they're in Walmart, they're in sections they never seen before, but they saw you and they're over here in aisle 133. They're taking the garden section out. Because we have to be friendly. And there is a principle of contribution. If I'm going to have friends, I have to be friendly. If I'm going to be in a relationship where I am being sharpened, where I am being helped, where I am being encouraged, then I myself have to look for opportunities to sharpen, to encourage, and to be a blessing to others. That's the idea. To have a friend, I need to be a friend. To have friends, I must be friendly, and I must be willing to do my part. The principle of contribution. And at times in our life, we will look at what we don't have, but we often will give ourselves a pass in what we are not willing to give. And may you and I tonight take an honest evaluation and say, Lord, it's not about what I don't have. How am I doing in the giving category? In other words, it's not, Lord, give me some good friends. I'm tired of no friends. It's, Lord, make me a good friend. Make me the friendliest person at Lancaster Baptist Church. And I'm going to come to church and I'm going to smile. And I'm going to say hi to everybody I see. And I'm going to shake hands. And I'm just going to be friendly. And by the way, you do that for a while, you're going to have some friends. You're going to have some friends. You look for opportunities to encourage and invest and strengthen people, you're going to have some friends to do the same thing for you. To have friends, we must show ourselves friendly. The principle of contribution, we want to be doing our part. Fifthly, the principle of consideration. The principle of consideration. Now, real friendships require mutual contribution, but also require consideration. This idea that we are to be considerate one of the other, or respectful one of the other, is at the heart of any real relationship and friendship. And one of the central ways in which you and I can show this consideration is how you and I speak to our friend, and especially how we speak about our friends when they are not around. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:9, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, thy neighbor, thy friend, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thy infamy turn not away. So what God is saying is, don't expect to keep the friends in your life who you keep talking about behind their back. True friends know when to speak and when to be silent. True friends know when to bring something up and when to leave it alone. True friends know when there's a problem who to go with. Listen, if you have a relationship tonight and there are some difficulties in that relationship, and by the way, we're all going to have difficulties in our relationships because we're human. Every relationship I'm involved in is imperfect, and it's that for one reason, because I'm in it. My marriage is imperfect because of me. My family's imperfect because of me. This church is not perfect because you let me come. So no relationship I'm involved in is perfect because I'm in it, and I'm not perfect, and I'm going to make mistakes. And at times, the relationships that I'm in, because that I'm in it, because mistakes are going to be made, we're going to have to work some things out. The greatest mistake I can make is go tell everybody else in the world about it except my friend. If they're my friend, God's telling me in His Word, go talk to them about it. Go talk to them about it. Work it out with them. You don't need to tell somebody else. And we always want to do it in a real spiritual way. I have a prayer request. I'd like to share a prayer request with you. I have a burden. I mean, we find some way to really spiritualize the gossip we're about to give. And we just want to be careful that we are living within the principle of consideration. Am I treating my friend correctly by the way that I'm speaking to them or about them? Now, Proverbs has a lot to say about this. And notice a couple of verses, Proverbs 11:12. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. There are times where the greatest thing to say is nothing at all. Grandma told us, if we don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And sometimes we have to be reminded not to speak, to be discerning and led of the Spirit with our words. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:9, an hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. And we know that the mouth and the tongue have incredible power. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends, established friends, good friends, longtime friends. The Bible says the work of a whisperer. Boy, that can get it done. And we want to be careful in our relationships and our friendships not to be a whisperer, not to be a gossip, not to be one who is sowing strife, but rather knowing, listen, I want to be the right kind of friend. And if something comes up, and at times it will, we're not perfect, but we're going to the person with the right spirit that we might have biblical restoration, that there might be no strife in the body of Christ, so that everything God wants to do here can be done and we're not a hindrance to it. And by the way, you say, Brother Rule, I don't gossip. But I don't know why. But it just seems like all the gossipers come to me. Now, my name is Gabe, and I'm your friend. But I want to tell you why. Because you listen to them. You want to stop all the gossips ever coming to you again? Here's what you do. The next time the gossip comes to you, so that, you know, whoever, Brother Shepherd comes to me and he wants to tell me everything about Brother Williams and the way he leads singing on Wednesday nights and the way he talks and all of that about Brother Williams, then I just, when Brother Shepherd comes to me with that problem, I just tell Brother Shepherd, that's great insight. Let's go talk to Brother Williams about that. And I take Dr. Shepherd over to Brother Williams, and I say, Brother Williams, Dr. Shepherd wanted to talk to you about the way you talk and your music leading and the way you conduct the Wednesday night service, and here you go. And then I walk away from it. Now, nobody's ever going to come to me again with another problem unless they really want help. Because we don't have time to be the go-between. We don't have time to be the intake or the inbox for all that stuff. Who has the energy for that? I got enough time trying to keep me in line. But if somebody wants help, I can connect two people and encourage them to get help. And by the way, there's a pastor who loves him, who can give counsel, and there's a place where serious restoration can be made. But if our only intention is just to go talk about it, and go whisper here, and go gossip here, and go sow strife here, we are not being the right kind of friend. The principle of consideration. Being careful the way we speak to and speak about our friends. The Bible says in Timothy, stepping out of Proverbs for a minute, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers, and also busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. God says, listen, don't be up on the latest and greatest about the other person in the church. Just go knock on a door and invite somebody to church. Don't worry about all the problems with this group and that group and this family and this person. Go find somebody who doesn't even know Jesus and share the gospel with them. We're spending time talking about stuff that God says, don't even say that. And we don't have time to go tell people stuff. They really need to hear from the Bible. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. Proverbs 19:22. Now, the Hebrew word here used here for kindness is hesed, and it means steadfast loyalty. It's the same loyalty that God promised to his covenant people. It's a steadfast love that endures forever. And what God is saying is that a man that is poor but is loyal is better than a man of wealth who says he is faithful and then turns his back on you and gossips. Kindness, loyalty, knowing how to speak to and speak about our friend, the principle of consideration. Number six, the principle of conscience. Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. The challenge here is that you and I ought to have the kind of friends in whom we can be accountable to and in whom we can pray with that we might be better Christians. Now, there may be some relationships we have, again, in whom we are trying to minister to, whom we are trying to pick up, whom we are trying to draw closer to the Lord. But there's got to be somebody in our life who's doing that for us. A wise man will surround himself with people that sharpen him up, that challenge him up, that encourage him up in living a life that honors and pleases the Lord. And we want to have those kind of friends. Why is that so important? Well, the Bible says in Romans 14:12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Someday I will stand before God and I personally will give an account for my life. And if I can surround myself while down here with people that encourage me to think about that, to prepare for that, to live ready for that, those are good relationships. Those are good friendships. And do we have that principle of conscience? Do we have the kind of friends? And I'm not talking about a gossip session. I'm not talking about getting with somebody and airing out all the dirty laundry. I'm not talking about all of that. I'm talking about somebody with some biblical discernment, that there can be some accountability. There can be some encouragement. Listen, it shouldn't just be the Sunday school teachers noticing when so-and-so is absent and doing something about it. It should be looking around on Sunday and saying, hey, where's so-and-so? Picking up the phone. Hey, I missed you. Where were you? Well, I thought it was going to rain. I didn't want to mess up my hair or whatever. I don't know what Sunday was, but whatever it was. And somebody encouraging them, provoking one another to love and to good works. The principle number 7 of candor. Now, this closely is related to this idea of consideration, how to speak to and speak about a friend. Conscience, an environment and a relationship of encouragement and of accountability. But candor. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:5, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Think of those thoughts. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Does anybody here like to be rebuked openly? Does anybody here like to be called on the carpet? Does anybody here like to be corrected? None of us like that. But God says there's value in it. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Oscar Wilde said, a true friend stabs you from the front. Do you and I have a friend tonight that'll be honest with us? Do you and I possess the kind of friendship with somebody that can look in our life and speak the truth in love? Even if it means we'll be wounded, but for our good. Ointment and perfume, Proverbs 27:9, rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Flattery is a flimsy foundation for a relationship. Oh, it feels good. It sounds good. We like to be around it. And thank God for someone of encouragement. I'm not demeaning that. But do we have the kind of friendship where somebody can be honest with us? Proverbs 28:23, he that rebuketh a man afterward shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Hey, it's great to be around somebody who thinks you're all this and all that. And by the way, the encouragement is wonderful. We're going to talk about it in a minute. But we've got to have the kind of friend that can speak honestly to us, that can speak the truth in love and can encourage us in a direction in which we might grow and honor the Lord. The principle of candor. Do we have that kind of friendship? Are we inviting that kind of influence? Listen, I would rather have that kind of friendship here and sit down with someone like a Dr. Mark Rassman and say, Dr. R, here's where I'm at in life right now. What do you think? And someone to look into my life and say, I'd be careful there. I don't know about that. I'd pray about that. You just want to be careful. I would much rather do that here than stand before the God someday and find out I totally missed the mark. That I was all over the place when I could have just gotten some counsel, when I could have just sought some people who've been in it a while, who've been faithful, who've been through God's word a few times, who've been around the block and been through some trials and been knocked down or back up and still have joy in their life. And getting around some people like that, some younger couples in this room, getting around some couples that have been in it a while and just say, teach us, man, come into our home and speak into our life and tell us some things and help us, because we do want to be faithful and we do want to finish our race and we do want to stand before God and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we're inviting the candor. We want it. The coach rides the player he intends to play. Having someone in our life that will speak the truth in love. Number eight, the principle of covering. Proverbs 17:9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. No real friendship can ever survive without the gift of forgiveness. And you and I in our friendships want to be sure that we are standing ready to forgive, ready to extend that to our friends, ready to cover an offense. Again, listen, every friendship I'm in is imperfect because I am in it. And every friendship that I have, if it lasts long enough, will provide me an opportunity to say, I'm sorry, I blew it. And I'm thankful for friends who will say, I forgive. Forgive. Covering it up. Understanding the principle. Understanding the need. Understanding that we've got to have forgiveness if we're going to have the kind of friendships that we should have. A friendly eye is slow to see the faults. And we want to make sure that we're not the fruit inspector. We want to make sure that we're not the one coming in and just trying to make sure that everything is the way it is supposed to be, but rather that we have a forgiving spirit, that we are careful in the way in which we conduct ourselves with others. A small boy defined a friend as this: someone who knows all about you and likes you anyway. The principle of covering. How are we doing tonight in our forgiveness? Are we withholding forgiveness tonight from a friend? Aren't you thankful that God's not withholding His forgiveness from us?
Amen.
Being willing to forgive. Number 9, the principle of cheer. The principle of cheer. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. We're reminded in Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. And there is something to be said for being that encourager, for being that one who will edify, for being that one who will lift up. And remember, your friends are like elevators. They're either taking you up or they're taking you down. And you want to make sure that as a friend, you're the kind of friend that will breathe life into people and that you surround yourself with people that encourage you, that encourage you to do the right thing, that are encouraging you to do things that last for an eternity, but they're encouraging you. The principle of cheer. Are we that kind of friend? Are we an encouragement to people? Do we strive to be an encouragement? Walking down the dorm hallway tomorrow, make it your mission, make everybody smile. I love it in the hospital corridors. People just, when you start walking by them and smiling and say hi, they just look at you like you're weird. And if you keep doing it, they don't know what to do but smile back. Just try to get this crazy guy to look at somebody else, you know. The principle of cheer. Being an encouragement to your friend. Number 10 and lastly, the principle of consistency. The principle of consistency. Finally, Proverbs. We find the principle here in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. The heart of friendship is consistency, and consistently displaying that love and being willing to go through people in the tough times. And of course, we know the Lord exemplified this masterfully. In John 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Spoken of the greatest friend that ever lived, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was a friend of sinners and was one who perpetually gave forgiveness, and yet His love never failed.
Amen.
He promised to never love us or forsake us. And tonight, as we think about friendships, what kind of friend are we going to be? It ought to be consistent. We're going to continue to be the right kind of friend. I may not always be able to condone what a friend is doing, but they will know where I am, and they will know I'm always here to help. That should be our heart. The principle of consistency, faithfully being the right kind of friend. It's been said friends are like good health. You don't realize what a gift they are until you lose them. Tonight, take a moment. What kind of friend are you? Are you a biblically principled friend? Let's strive for that tonight. And then pause and ask tonight, what kind of friends do I have? Who do I spend time with? Who's influencing me between now and Sunday? And what kind of a friend are they? Will I be a better Christian come Sunday because of my time with them? Or will I come in here head down because of their influence on my life? What kind of a friend am I? And what kind of friends do I have around me? And may you and I strive to follow in the footsteps of our Savior and be a biblically principled friend. And then may you and I be sure to take some caution with who we invite in that close proximity of influence. That iron that's sharpening our iron is drawing us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and making us more like Him.